Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Freedom Wire, your number one source for patriotic truth. What did I say?
No, I agree with you.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering.
I'm reiterating.
We are number one.
Reinforcing your point.
That's Connor. That used to be F-bomb. We have a new F-bomb, but he's not here today. That's Ryan. I'm Sean. Today we're going to talk to you a little bit about how Pelosi is trying to turn justice on its head and putting the burden of innocence, proving innocence, on Trump instead of on the accuser. Comment below. Do you think this is a miscarriage of justice, or is this just the way that...
Who needs the Constitution?
Yeah, is this just the way things are going to go from
now? Those pesky little rules of our country.
So comment below. Also, if you haven't, please like the video. Share it if you can. If you haven't subscribe to the channel, please do so. That way, you can always catch us. But to really know the one we're up, hit the notifications button. That way, you'll get a little message every time we have a new episode up. Also, if you want to read our stuff and
we know get
where we go a little bit deeper into certain issues, please go to freedomwire.com. And while you're there, go ahead and check out the swag in the store. That way, you can help support the podcast and the movement, hopefully all the hard work we'll do, we'll see a re-election of one of the most effective presidents I've ever seen.
The greatest of all time.
Donald Trump.
If you were to ask him.
I really do believe that, though. I was arguing with people on Twitter, because that's what I like to do, because it gives me a slight joy.
I thought you were going away. Like, when we first started this podcast, you were like, I don't really talk about politics on social media. Now you're like a...
created a Twitter account.
I created a Twitter account.
Your Facebook's more for personal stuff?
But yeah, I never put stuff on my Facebook.
That's kind of what Twitter really is, isn't it?
But I created a Twitter page for me, which is the Big Bearded Patriot.
Big Bearded Patriot. I wonder why would you call yourself that?
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
I wonder why. I've been using that simply to needle liberals, and it's fun. I get joy out of it. I don't do it all the time, but I'll do it in...
But when I do, I trigger them.
Yes, they are greatly triggered. But one of them called Trump a do-nothing president. I was like, what?
He's been doing a lot.
Even if you don't like the guy, how can you say he's not been doing anything?
How can you say he's a do-nothing president?
I would think their reaction would be like, I wish he wasn't doing so much.
They typically don't try to impeach do-nothing presidents, because that means if they're being impeached, they've done something.
Right. It was the most, I was like, did you really? And that's what I did. And I laughed out loud. What I tend to do is I tend to write, blah, ha, 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 ha.
No, when it's something really
funny. It's hilarious.
When it's something, you got to add the B if it's really funny.
Yeah, I always add the
bah,
B.
If it's just ha, ha, it's not.
And I go, did you really just call Trump a do-nothing? That is hilarious. But they, you know, who knows? I don't get what goes through these people's brains. Let's get to one of our favorite targets, Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy.
So,
Nancy
went ahead yesterday, and
she said all kinds of crazy crap.
And it was literally...
She was freaking... I think because she knew that first day didn't go well for him.
It was like having diarrhea of the mouth with her the other day.
Yeah.
But she basically said. That it's up to Trump to prove his innocence.
No.
That's not how justice works. Mm-hmm. If you are accused of a crime, you need to have evidence of said crime. If you do not have evidence of said crime, there technically is no crime. What is a witness? A witness corroborates...
The evidence.
Yeah.
Also, I thought this was an impartial impeachment inquiry. What are they accusing him of? I thought, you know, like that was very telling right there. If anybody believes that crap, I got a place to sell you in Belize. Like that, this is impartial. No, just funny because she's saying he's got to defend himself. I go, I thought you're just gathering evidence. I thought, or facts. You know, like what is this about? Also, what she said in the same. I'm assuming it was the same press conference.
And she used lawyer speak. When was the last time she was a lawyer? I mean, I'm sure she. I think that, like most.
I actually don't know her background other than her husband's rich.
Well, he's rich. He's rich now.
And his daughter, her daughter, is a filmmaker. I believe.
Did you know that the Pelosi's went from a net worth of like $7 million up to $120 million over the last 10, 15 years?
It would cost to live in California. The $7 million would have been, you'd be like living in a shack.
Well, especially in San Francisco, because where they live.
That's liberals' policy. I mean, their rent, you know, their rent policies and their land restrictions, it causes rent to go up. Anyway, that's a whole other discussion. But what I was going to say is with Pelosi yesterday in that same press conference, I'm assuming that she said what you just said, is that she also said, that she's like, she got upset with the Republicans because of their defense of, oh, there's no firsthand knowledge or of this, you know, of the a crime took place or whatever. I go, yeah, that's kind of a good point, actually.
Thank you, Nancy, for pointing that out.
Yeah, because she was like, no, because she was upset that was the Republicans' defense. Like, that, you know, the Republicans are like, correctly saying that second, third, you can't impeach your president on second, third, and fourth hand. Now you need to have direct evidence that this happened. And she got all upset that, oh my gosh, like they were so stupid for saying that. And it also goes in line with that one representative during the hearing. I don't know if you saw, you probably seen it by now, that he said hearsay is better than direct evidence.
Yeah, that was
what?
That's got to be up there as one of the dumbest things. I mean, that's ever been AOC, said into a microphone by a politician.
That's AOC kind of stupid.
Yeah, that is pretty much equivalent to AOC's statement, it's better to be morally correct than factually correct.
What he just said was the same thing as what she said just when it came to...
So basically what he's saying is a rumor that you hear is more important than the actual truth of the situation.
Or if you overheard a phone call where the president apparently said that he was asking about the investigation... Oh, a staff coming. Seriously, this was the. Come on, we got to talk a little bit about this before
we just lost the flag.
Whatever.
We're not patriotic.
We plow on. So Pelosi, you know,
see if you can get it back. We'll let him just. He'll talk a bunch.
I'll talk a bunch in the meantime.
If you insist. Get it.
Yeah. Anyway, as I was saying,
won our flag. Yeah. Feels good to have that thing waving behind us.
Yeah. So. That was their big bombshell thing from the Taylor. It was that Taylor staffer, not even Taylor himself. And this was amended, like, this was after his first testimony, by the way. I forgot to add this. My staffer told me on Friday or whatever that he had overheard Sondland talking to Trump, and he could hear Trump because he was talking so loud on the phone, say, ask Sondland about how the investigations were going. That's your bombshell information? Seriously, and you see in the reports, that was a bombshell. This is it. This is it for Trump. I mean, you overheard. How do you even know if it was Trump, for one?
Well, exactly. How do you know it was Trump?
Again, and like, how are you going to corroborate that? How are you going to, like, again, but they throw that out there. It's the same. I'm telling you, one of the biggest moments in American politics in history, you know, in the last 25 years and going forward, was the Kavanaugh hearings, because it showed so much about what they think about rule of law in this country, the Democrats. They literally just put all these people, like Christine Blasey Ford, nothing she said was true. Nothing. She said could be, at least as far as could be corroborated.
She did say something true. There was a party.
Yeah. Doesn't know where it was.
Doesn't know where it was.
I mean, well, I don't mean.
But we know. But we know there was a party.
Well, she sounds like she went to a lot of them.
Yeah.
She sounded like she liked the old fellas.
She sounded like she liked the party.
She liked the party. You liked the party.
I liked the party.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The presumption of innocent until proven guilty is supposed to be like the backbone of the American justice system.
Yeah,
and that goes out the window. And you see, every major case that has come up lately has been the total reversal of that. You've seen it with a lot of the cases that came towards the tail end of the Me Too movement, when it was
all women.
Yeah, when it was no longer, you know, your Harvey Weinsteins and your Kevin Spaceys of people like actually doing really bad things. It was more so, we're just going to throw around accusations. And if you're accused, that's pretty much it. Like, we're just going to assume you're guilty until you prove that you're not. You see it with Trump right now.
There's one thing to be considered guilty in the court of public opinion, because that doesn't have, that has ramifications.
Oh, it sure does. But
it won't put you in jail. If they start switching this, they could put you in jail just for accusing you of something, and then it's on you to prove your innocence. That's not how this works.
But at the same time, that's not to negate the damage that it's doing even in public opinion, because you got people who are losing their jobs, their careers are being destroyed, their families are getting death threats. All this stuff is happening. Like, if you allow the presumption of innocence to just go out the window, then there's no justice anymore.
Well, this goes back to our founding. One of the reasons we had an American Revolution in the first place was because the British weren't giving us, the colonists, due process. They were literally sending them over to England to be tried. Like, well, you think that's going to be...
You mean like China was trying to do with the Hong Kong?
Exactly,
right.
And look at what's happening in Hong Kong.
That is, if you read the Declaration of Independence, there's a couple, about three or four of the talk, you know, the points of why we... You know, we declared our independence was having to do with the lack of due process that we were given. So, whatever. But who cares about history? Who cares about the Constitution anymore? You know what?
Well, it's an
inconvenient document.
It was written by racists. Cancel it. We don't need it anymore. Let's write a new one.
But we do need to talk about the danger of the turning the justice process on its head.
Because if they can do that to a president,
of the United States, how easy would that be to do to a regular citizen?
The same thing with the tax returns. Like, if they can get his tax returns, you know, that they can get anybody. He's still an American citizen, by the way. I don't know if these people remember that.
It doesn't just because he's a president and works for the government does not make him a non-U.S. citizen.
And they have no. It's a fishing expedition. They have no reason, no probable cause to get those tax returns. None.
Especially when they've proven that there has been no collusion.
And you know what? I think the reason why he's not giving those tax returns, I think he's absolutely right. It's because they'll go through with a thin cone and they'll connect some doubt with some doubt with some doubt, and then they'll make a story out of it. Like, he knows that's what's going to happen. He didn't, you know, so it's all a fishing expedition. That's what I'm saying. They don't even need to have a crime anymore. They just go after.
No, they create the crime.
Or they create.
That's what they do.
Don't have one, or they create one, and then they go to look. You know, then they're like, we're gonna take all his records, whatever. And then if he's like, oh no, I'm not gonna give that to you. Oh, you're hiding. Oh, I really. And then he releases a transcript. Oh, that's not a transcript. Like, what do you want?
Well,
Go ahead. Instead of finding evidence that leads to a conclusion, they come to a conclusion and then backtrack to try to find evidence
that's not
to prove
how it's
it.
Supposed to
work. But when you already have the solid conclusion picked out, and you're like, okay, Trump for sure is corrupt and working with foreign governments, everything suddenly proves that. Phone calls, emails, it doesn't matter. Like, in the transcript, you see, there wasn't anything to impeach him on. There wasn't any quid pro quo in that phone call with Zelensky, but they're trying to use it as evidence for it because all they want is anything that will prop up the conclusion they've already come
to. And let's not forget what Robert Mueller said. Unbelievable statement that he said that if we would have found reasons to clear him, basically, we would have said so. It's not your job. Your job is to investigate, and if you find something, you're supposed to
bring up charges.
It's not your job to quit. You know whose job that is? That's a jury's job. That jury's supposed to decide if the president should have been, or a person prosecuted should be acquitted or not. I mean, this is ridiculous. And he stood up there. He's a freaking lawyer. And he said that. He was the FBI director before he became this. This is where we've come. This is a very important topic.
You don't sit there and investigate until you find something. You start from a place of having evidence and then investigate to see where the evidence goes. Mm-hmm. It's not just casting a progressively wider and wider and wider net until you just catch something.
Well, you're going to catch catch minnows.
My jaw dropped when he said that. I could not believe it.
So, it's think back to the Clinton impeachment.
Yes, he doesn't remember.
Well,
I was young, but I remember.
what year was that?
1998.
Okay, I was a year old.
Yeah,
they had.
I'm sure you.
So I was very.
I'm sure you read
politics
about it.
At the
I'm
time.
Just giving you stuff. Okay.
They had evidence before they started the impeachment process.
It was Ken Starr.
Ken Starr did a thorough investigation.
About 5 years worth, or whatever. This started in like '94, right?
With had water. All kinds of evidence, including a stained blue dress.
It wasn't a spaghetti stain.
or wine.
Spoiler.
They had this, and then they impeached, okay? These Democrats don't have the equivalent of a blue-stained dress. They don't even have... They have... You know what they have? They have somebody telling somebody that somebody else heard that there might be a stained dress in somebody's closet.
Yes, the Ariel Speedwagon defense.
That's what that is.
Yeah. I mean, start every podcast by playing REO Speedwagon now. Heard it from a friend who heard it from another.
That you've been messing around.
But that's
with the Ukrainians.
But it's true. But that's what it is. This is what it is. They don't have a smoking gun at all. They don't even have a shell casing. What they have is they have. Well, somebody told me that they heard something that sounded sort of like a gunshot.
Doesn't that sound like high school to you? Didn't you hear? He used to hear that all the time. Somebody said this about you and this about me. And this,
we are back in high school level conversations and politics now, because to say that hearsay is more important than actual evidence, yeah, that's how you spread rumors about people in high school.
Yeah, hearsay. Yeah,
and I wish more people, even conservative me, would do this topic. We need to talk about this more because this is very alarming.
Yeah, it's very alarming. Some people
have touched on it a little bit, but this should be a very big focus on conservatives.
Right? It's such an important thing. It's bad when Republicans do it. It's bad when Democrats do it. The rule of law has to be preserved on both sides.
What are we? We're not a nation of men. We're a nation of laws.
Principles.
And right now, it's all being thrown out the window because somebody is... Or one side is sore losers.
It really does come back. You know? And I like that Nunez started that with the other, they all got upset that he brought that up. He's like, Nunez did a good job, I thought, the other day, the ranking Republican on the committee, and basically said this is because they're upset that they lost this. They're trying to relitigate the 2016 election. Reverse the results. Yeah. And again, there's this thing called an election next November. Beat them at the ballot box
They know they're not going to.
I mean, now you see Bloomberg and Val Patrick. That tells you something about their field, that they feel that those two still thought they should get into the race. Because if they thought there was a clear front runner or two that could beat Trump, they would.
The fact that Hillary's thinking about getting in.
Yeah, I the more the merrier. Keep jumping in, guys. Keep jumping in. Keep muddying your own waters. That would make us very happy.
Certain politicians, like Hillary specifically, they suck all the air out of the room. Where as soon as Hillary jumps into the 2020 Democratic pool, everybody else is out. Nobody else is really even relevant to that discussion anymore.
And here's the thing.
All they want is Hillary versus Trump round
Trump
two.
Trump will trounce her even worse a second time around.
Because she's the only the only former presidential candidate who lost in the last, 60 years of polling data has actually gotten less popular. She's actually gotten more unpopular, and I think because people are so sick of her excuses.
This is her third shot.
Americans hate people that make excuses, and that's all she's done since she lost is make excuses. We talked about that. But what happened? Her book, What Happened?
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton. I mean, if she doesn't
It should have been one page,
Hillary
one
Clinton
sentence.
Is what happened.
Hillary Clinton.
No, one sentence. What happened? I lost.
Yeah, exactly. She should have been, taken account, I should have run a better campaign, I underestimated my opponent, all this stuff, and she didn't. So she's gotten less popular. So I think if they did get an election, I think you're right. I think
she lost in 2016, and you know what? What difference at this point does it make?
I see what you did.
Yeah.
What difference does it make? That was a
her point about Benghazi.
I was like, what? Yeah,
okay. Nah. Two of us got it.
Okay. Well,
one of us did.
It's a little early in the morning.
We're tracking.
Well, I did not sleep last night, and I've been up since 5:15, so I did not sleep one wink. So I'm rolling on coffee.
You've been watching Disney Plus?
No, I did not.
I was watching it a little late last night. That's addicting.
Wow, that just kind of threw me off.
Yeah, so back to, due process.
Due process, or the lack
back
of due
there,
process.
Lack of due process.
Well, here's the thing. It kind of makes you wonder, what is their end goal here? Because it always seems like they're working towards something and never actually arriving at that point. Like, when they're not the party that has, the overwhelming power, I guess you'd say the executive branch, because that's where they seem to think, highest power lies.
Well, I think we already know why.
Well, when they're not in the executive branch, they're talking about they're the underdogs and everybody's being oppressed and everything. And then when they're on top, they continue to push this victim mentality anyway, as though even when they're in the controlling the executive, like when Obama was in office, they're still continuing to talk about everybody's still against them and they're working against an oppressive system.
At one point, didn't Obama have like either the House or the Senate as well?
He had all three up until till the Tea Party wave in 2010. Yeah, well, that's why Obamacare got passed. Even still, it barely got passed because even some of the Democrats like, and they had to be coaxed into signing it.
Yeah, so he had all three houses. He had all three branches.
Exactly. When they have all that, they still continue to act like they're the victims of some more powerful system that is pressing down on them. It is a perpetual victim mentality.
And here's the thing. The fact that the Senate...
Well, that's how they get elected.
They say, we're victims... You're also a victim. If we victims all get together, we can stick it to the more powerful.
You know
guy.
What also that sounds like? That sounds like Karl Marx. Yeah. That really does. I mean, that was his whole shtick, too. It's like we're all underdogs, but have-nots get together.
Well, what they do is they seize the means
of production.
Think about it. Think about what the... the Nazis did to the Jews. Mm-hmm. They dehumanized them and made them not people. What is the left doing to people on the right? They're dehumanizing them by calling them Nazis.
Well, I hate to be the Saul Alinsky guy, but it is really important if you haven't read it to understand their way of thinking. The Realist Radical book does say all of this of what they're playing. They really do all read from that book. I mean, it's pretty obvious the way they go about their business, whatever you want to say, of attacking. They're trying to dehumanize, and it's not working. It's not, because like I think a lot of people are just like they laugh at it now.
Here's what I think. Honestly, this is what I think is truly happening, and it's an undercurrent right now. But I think people are getting really sick and tired of talking about politics, like. Really sick and tired of talking about politics. They'll read it, but they are getting sick of it, seeing plastered on their social media. They're sick of getting into debates or arguments with their friends. They're sick of losing friends over.
It's so pathetic. I mean, if you lose, come on, guys.
Yeah, people are tired of like
ripping families apart.
Thanksgiving dinner becoming a political battleground because. Yeah. Half the family.
SNL did
one
a funny
person.
Sketch about that. I think.
Did you see what Joy Reid said on her show?
Which I don't. She says all kinds of crazy.
She did
stuff.
This whole thing about how to.
Oh yeah, yeah. How to talk to like a Trump supporter or something.
Yeah, and Thanksgiving.
Oh
or,
God.
I didn't even give it a listen because I didn't want it to have a hit. But you know, I didn't want to give it one click. But you just know what it was. You know.
It's been a long-standing thing for a long time. Hey, if you want to have like good family dinners and stuff, don't talk about religion and politics.
That's exactly. Like, it.
And this predates Trump by decades. Like, you just don't talk about politics and religion with people that you want to have
civil discourse
with. But now, because politics have become such an ingrained part of everyday life, people don't even know what to talk about aside from that.
I just thought of a term. I'm going to coin it. It's called lib-splaining. You know how they like mansplaining or whatever? That's what they do. They're such hypocrites. That's what they do to us. And do you ever notice that they try to like lecture us? Like, you guys vote for Trump. You're so immoral. Let me tell you why you're wrong. Let me tell you why you're wrong. This is what they do. Lip-splaining. You can run with it.
I dig it.
No, that's for sure. I'll use that today while I'm arguing with leftists
Sean's going to get credit for it.
That's what. Yeah, that's fine.
Because he'll be in the argument before the podcast.
But it needs
gets
to go out there because they got to realize, like, they don't. They accuse us of all this, and like they are the ultimate splainers.
Yeah.
They lecture us all. Obama was the ultimate split. That's what drove me the most crazy about the guy who was president.
Everything was a lecture.
There's that old expression,
everything
people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
I'm going to go ahead and put my stamp on this as far as not liking it. Because when you say something, when someone says they're mansplaining.
Well, I don't like that term. But
I understand that. But if I'm mansplaining something, I'm giving you the finer details of something that is correct. I do not want to give them...
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's like, no. I'm not mansplaining. I'm just explaining, and I happen to be a man.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is somehow wrong because of who it's coming from. Like, it's just an explanation.
But their premise...
How about this?
But their premise of it is that you are wrong, so let me tell you. Like, that's how
they
feel.
Right, but that doesn't mean they're wrong when you say explaining. How about this? How about we call it lib-speak? Because what they're doing is they're creating a whole different way of talking that changes the narrative of the situation.
I feel like I'm being talked down to though when I do this. That's what the premise of
it's very true. They're on a moral high horse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean you're wrong when you're mansplaining.
Of course it doesn't. But I'm telling you what the connotations of it. I don't agree with it, but I'm just saying the connotations of it are that you're talking down to somebody. That's why I call it lip spin.
Sean, back to what you said a second ago about creating this whole new language. It's something that drives me absolutely insane. Because it starts small, where it's like, oh, you can choose your pronouns, and then it grows steadily from there until, like, you literally can't have a conversation that's not in the context of the words that they want you to use. You can't even think about things that aren't how they want you to think.
They create these dog whistles and sea lioning and...
Dog whistles. Unless they say, I hate minorities, how can you can't just infer with somebody's mind.
Yeah, like they're trying to, you know, cut out words. Okay, you can't say this, this, and this because it's a racist dog whistle. Well,
what the hell is a dog whistle?
You're just assuming that it is because that's what you're hearing.
That's what you're hearing, but I want to know.
The okay thing. That's what in their mind, this is like, it's like a mental okay thing. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's why we put up such a big fuss about it, because it seems small to say that, okay, you can't make the okay hand symbol anymore. Whatever. Who even does this anymore? That's very infrequent. But if you don't put up a fight on that, then how far do you let it get pushed?
Right, well, that's why I'm not letting them take this.
Yeah, you turn around and realize, I can't have any conversation at all.
I'm saying it's more like a mental version of that. Yeah. Like somehow you're telepathically communicating to another race.
Well, do you remember what happened to the... they tried to find the guy that did this behind the announcer at the Cubs game? So a guy did this behind one of the announcers at the Cubs game. The Cubs said if they find out who the guy is, they're going to ban him for life from Wrigley Field for doing a white supremacist...
you saw it happens a lot. There was that woman at the Brett Kavanaugh hearings who...
That was the one I remember.
Just kind of holding her hands and happened to do that behind the camera. And she was just the wife of one of the guys in the room. And she was immediately smeared for like 3 days. And it was a whole ridiculous thing. And after it blew over, she was there.
It was a hoax.
She was there behind the camera again in the same spot.
Right.
She looked right at the camera, did that, and walked away.
The other thing is with this is this is a juvenile game that men play with each other. And the one where if you look at this, if it's below your waist and look at it,
You get punched.
Me and my friends for decades have been sending each other things that are like you scroll down and eventually it's the guy doing this and we always send each other memes and stuff like that, which is of that symbol. But it's like now you can't use that symbol. Go scratch yourself. Well, go kick rocks and flip flops for all I care.
Here's the thing. When I went to college, I went to Florida Atlantic University. Their mascot is the Owls. Their little crowd symbol that everybody does, it's that, you know? Or two owls or something.
Owl eyes.
So it's all over the website and everything. So you're going to tell the entire university, you must all be white supremacists now.
Florida Atlantic. I mean, that's what they're known for, is white supremacy. Christianity. Same thing to the left, you know. If you're a white Christian, you're a white supremacist as far as the left's concerned.
Well, and they got played by the people in 4chan, right? They made this...
joke.
Yeah, getting this reaction. And then we got people in this building right now that believe this. Like, oh, there's a... I'm like, oh.
It's where we're going.
But anyway, you gotta fight back on that.
Yes.
You don't have to, you know, go punch people and be obnoxious about it. But at the same time, you have to make sure that it's...
We have to fight back on this.
Because if it's not this, then suddenly every single piece of language and culture and thought is able to be changed, so it can't exist outside the context of a leftist narrative.
And you're right, but it starts here and it ends with Nancy Pelosi saying, you have to prove your innocence, we don't have to prove your guilt.
Once again, we arrive at the shocking conclusion that George Orwell, when he wrote 1984, was... much more prophetic than he could have ever known.
And That is a scary situation.
On that note, we gotta go watch some impeachment.
Yes, so let's go. We're gonna go. Yay. Well, as far as what I mean, we. Ryan is going to go watch the impeachment because...
Welcome. You're welcome, America. I also watch... I'm the only one that watches the debates.
You got to salute this man. He watches all the stuff that nobody else has the time or willpower to sit through.
I don't have TV. I can't watch these things.
You have the... You can find a way if you were motivated.
That is such
enough.
An excuse. You could. They live stream this stuff. The
what?
They live stream debates.
You have Twitter. Have internet. I watched the highlights on Twitter.
Do you not have the interwebs?
Of course. That's how I play Call of Duty online. during the debate.
You do this for a living, though. Come on.
Again, thank you guys for listening. If you liked what you heard, please comment below. Also... if you haven't already, like the video, share it if you can. If you haven't, subscribe, and please hit the notifications button. Again, if you want to go further in depth with what we're talking about, you want to read more information, always go to freedomwire.com. We are your number one source for patriotic truth.
And impeachment watch.
And while you're there, if you want to go ahead and buy one of our shirts, our mugs... Or our hats, or our tactical tools, or our patches, or our hankies, go to freedomwire.com, go to the store tab. Other than that, you guys got anything?
I was going to say those hankies will come in, you can help dab liberal tears.
I wouldn't dab a liberal's tears if it was, if each tear turned into $1 million. Well, maybe I would. No, I might do that.
That might be an exaggeration. Okay.
All right. So until next time, stay free, America.